Hey friends, and welcome to the Moving Mountains podcast. Moving Mountains is a place to hear true stories of modern day miracles told by ordinary people just like you and me. My name is Paige, and I'm joined here in Alaska by my dear friends Margaret and Bernadette as we witness accounts of how God has worked in people's lives in big and small ways. As you listen to these stories of hope, answered prayers, and unexplained phenomena, we invite you to allow this space to inspire your faith and even to help you recognize the ways in which God is moving mountains in your own life. You're listening to part two of last week's episode. If you haven't heard part one, please return to our recordings to access the first half of this episode. We don't want you to miss any part of this story.
I woke up, I worked out, I cooked dinner, I played with Margo. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm home with my daughter during the day while my big kids go to school. And I'm like, I got so much stuff done. Like, it's amazing. Is this what like not being mentally ill is like? This is amazing. Wow. I feel like that there were two parts, you know, and like they couldn't exist without one another. Like I needed that like spiritual experience that was so important, but like I feel like I couldn't really integrate that until I did other things. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I remember you telling me something about like there was a day you came home and you had like a dance party with your kids or something, and they were just like so overjoyed by that. I forget what you said, Vincent said about it, but it was really touching and I wish I could remember.
Yeah. They've said multiple things. Like they pray for the magnets. they pray for mama to fight OCD. My 5-year-old calls it ODC and I have no intention of correcting him. I forget what maybe it was something like your back or something about, like, I remember what you're referring to and now I really wish I remembered what he said. Yeah. But
that's
wow, amazing. Valerie, thank you for sharing. That's tremendous and very personal, very vulnerable. And there's just a few things you said that I can definitely relate to. Just, you know, I don't have the same experience as you, but definitely bouts of being really low. And I feel like I'm actually dealing with it more as I get older. But I wrote down, a couple of things that kind of just struck a chord. And I think probably a lot of women too. Early on, you said just that sense of not belonging, right? Like that, I'm not the homemaker mom and I'm not the, you know, and it's that kind of that comparison of, you know, we're all made different. And, you know, just because maybe all of your friends are, you know, homeschooling, homemaking mom doesn't mean that's what you're called to as well. It is just so easy to get down on ourselves. Like, you know, I'm in my 40s and single and most of my friends, at least up here, are stay-at-home moms. And so there's times like why I don't belong here. And I have to fight that a lot. You know, it's like that, even if maybe you know the truth, I think, you know, you were saying like, I can't remember the term you use, but basically, you know, you're being fed these lies, you know, like Satan is basically telling you, yeah, you don't belong. Why are you here? It's not worth it. And it's, you know, we have to really fight those battles. And unfortunately for some people, it's, you know, a much deeper seated issue and just a huge challenge to overcome. And I just want to honor you and your story and also say that there's nothing like, praise the Lord that you went to therapy. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord that you met that priest who was kind to you. It always like really breaks my heart when I hear about priests who are not acting like Jesus does. I've been to uncomfortable confessions, you know, where it's like, well, why would you do that? I'm like, wow, thanks a lot. You know, it's like, I'm here for mercy and here you are making me feel worse about myself. Like that's not them being Jesus. That's like their humanity. And it does break my heart because I've heard stories of people leaving because of something a priest said to them that was ridiculous and really not true. I just, wow, thank you. And then the other thing that really struck me when you said, that part about singing in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I just have had those moments where I'm like, yeah, I can't sing right now. I'm not joyful enough. I'm not, you know, I, after my last breakup, which was several years ago, I remember my sister and I spontaneously like flew to Colorado and we drove to Michigan together, and she was, you know, singing Les Mis or something, which we'd done together a lot, but she's like, you don't want to sing? And I said, no, I can't. And she said, I know, I understand. Like you're so low. You're so, it's hard. Like singing is such a joyful thing. It's like almost like a proclamation of joy when you're able to sing. And so that really resonated with me too, is like the freedom and the joy of being able to sing is like, oh, that's like a level of joy or like peace we want to be at, so that we can have that, right, that ability to just, you know, belt yeah. it out in the car.
Yeah. I also, I planted a garden this year. And I think in the past I was just too overwhelmed, and we're growing eggplants, and I will like take pictures and show my husband, be like, look at how vividly purple this eggplant is. It's so beautiful.
I love that. I love that.
Oh, and I didn't mention this, like while I was talking, I started going to church again, Easter Vigil, this past Easter. So I'm back.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I made a friend at my kid's old school that, she's the music director, and she was like, you know, if you ever feel up to it, you can like, you can come, you know. And so she's a working mom who sends her kids to school, and you know, and I like, yeah, she's one of my dearest friends now, and
wonderful.
And yeah, I go with her, and I'm actually going to church twice a weekend because I bring each of my boys. I do not feel up to taking them at the same time yet, but we're working on it. So
that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And I will say it was really cool being on, like, I mean, I met Valerie about a year ago now, and then it was really cool just, you know, being a part of a group. At first, everybody feels like awkward and you're all wondering if anybody likes you. Valerie and I have talked about this. Just kind of like, do I fit in? What do people think of me? All those different things go through your head. And it was really cool just getting to hear. We had, you know, all of us opened up in our own way about different things in our lives. So just getting to hear more and more about Valerie's story. And then it was awesome getting to the Easter Vigil, and she's texting us all that weekend, like, going back to church, and we're like, wow, this is just so amazing. It was just really cool witnessing it and being a part of it, and also hopefully getting to speak some of that truth back into, like, hey, we're a Catholic group of moms. I think all of us in the group are Catholic. It doesn't need to be, but just, you know, saying like, you're totally welcome here, and I like you for you. So I'm just really happy we got to be a part of, I don't know, celebrating that with you. And I also just want to say, I'm so grateful that you're willing to share this story. Side note, Valerie's actually sharing this story. She's giving a talk at our upcoming women's conference, a local women's Catholic conference in the area. So we're stealing the thunder and we get to hear it first.
And a longer version.
Yes. But I'm just so grateful that you're willing to be vulnerable and share, because I think it's so important for people to hear that there isn't a mold for what it looks like to be a good Catholic, especially a good Catholic mom. And also just with mental health, like I myself, some of my closest friends have struggled with mental health. I've had family members struggle with mental health, and it can be really tricky to navigate, you know, well, you should just pray about it versus getting help in the Catholic world. And there can be a lot of judgment and a lot of like expectation and yes, resentment and anger when you're not just like healed and it doesn't make sense. But it's just the reality. Mental health is another illness and reality, the same way that we deal with cancer or Lyme disease or whatever. It's just another reality that you can't place any judgment on. And so I think it's really important for people to hear this and to know that there isn't a mold for faith or healing or miracles. Like you said, the church is universal and God works through his creation, whether, you know, he can work through secular, completely medical means, he can also work through the healing prayers of a friend or a priest, and through the sacrament. So it's just a really good reminder. And I'm sure there are people out there listening who need to hear this. And also just on the level of like being a good mom, I know that probably every mom who listens to this episode, and probably some dads too, like we all have that judgment of ourselves. And like I've said to you before this recording, like I have many moments where I'm like, wow, I can't believe God gave us the gift of children because I'm such a terrible mom sometimes. And so it's just always good to have that reminder too of, you know, the Lord calls us each to different things. And some people are working parents, some kids go to Catholic school, some go to public school, whatever. But that the important thing is really like when the Lord leads us to a place of healing where we can hear him speak the truth to us, that it's really important to figure out from that place what he's calling you to individually. And so it's just cool to hear your story of being a working mom and figuring out what's right for each of your kids and your journey to healing after kind of feeling driven away from the church and everything. I just think it's a really cool story. And one last point is, like you said too, what you were talking about with the TMS therapy and how God can work miracles through secular or just scientific intervention or whatever. It reminds me of that story of like the man who was in a flood and he was like praying for God to rescue him. And he's like, I'm not worried, God's going to rescue me. And like the floodwaters keep getting higher and higher. So eventually he's like on his roof and like a rescue boat comes by and they're like, hey, you want to hop on? He's like, nope, it's totally fine. God's going to rescue me. And then like a rescue helicopter comes through later and they're like, grab on to the, you know, the rescue team. And he's like, nope, God's going to save me. And then the flood washes away his house. He dies. And he's like, God, what the heck? Why didn't you rescue me? And God's like, I sent you multiple rescue teams. Like, why didn't you respond? So anyway, it just reminded me of that story. And I just think your message is really important to share. And so, yeah, I guess I would just love to hear if you have, like, if any of our listeners are relating to anything that you shared, whether they're struggling with mental illness or just being a parent, or anything about balancing being a breadwinner and a parent, whatever. Do you have any advice that you would give to someone who's like, wow, I can really relate to what this woman has been through?
I would say that I would, like, in my biased opinion as a therapist, I do think that everyone should, not that everyone should go to therapy, but probably everyone could benefit from therapy. I know that a lot of Catholics think that it specifically needs to be a Catholic therapist. An ethical therapist will not, like, try to talk you out of your faith. Like, while I was, I very much had a foot out the door when I started seeing my current therapist. And when I like found her, I said, look, like, I'm already talking myself out of being Catholic. Please don't help me. Like, you know, and like through our work together, I ended up being more Catholic, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I asked her, like, after I was pretty much settled back, I was like, you told me when we met that you were raised a Christian. Usually when people say that, they're not anymore. And she was like, yeah, I hope that doesn't bother you. And I was like, no, that's totally fine. I mean, like, you know, you're good at your job. Like, you know, you, mm-hmm. she encouraged me in the direction I wanted to go. So yeah, like an ethical therapist will not attack your beliefs. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, if you, I'm a Catholic therapist, you know, like I work with Catholics, you know, and secular people. So yeah, I think everyone could benefit from therapy. I think that spiritual direction, that priest that I reached out to, he and I still talk. I think spiritual direction and counseling are both very important. You know, there's also nothing wrong with taking medication if you need to. So I think sometimes moms tend to put themselves last, but that's oftentimes at the detriment of yourself and everyone around you. You know, when I wasn't doing well, my kids weren't doing well. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm doing better, my husband's doing better, my kids are doing better, you know, everyone's doing better. Our eggplants mm-hmm. are doing great. One very important piece of advice that my spiritual director gave me was to leave the majority of Facebook groups that were like causing me strife. I was like, I got into a debate about XYZ, like obscure church thing. And he was like, why? And I was like, because they were giving dangerous advice. And he was like, that's not your problem. Like, leave. And I was much better after that happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like there isn't anything edifying about like debating people online. Like, I do mm-hmm. not necessarily know that that's going to get you anywhere. Like, if people are making you feel insecure, unfollow them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is good advice. Very, very true.
And find your own people, you know, like mm-hmm. there is absolutely nothing wrong with like the women that I like tried to fit in with at the beginning of my marriage. And when I was first having kids, nothing wrong with them at all. Lovely women. I do not fit in with them. I do not have anything in common with them, and that's okay. I have found my people mm-hmm. and like we cuss and we're like pretty progressive and we work and we also geek out about liturgical stuff. And she takes me to church with her sometimes when I'm not feeling brave enough to go by myself or bring one of my kids, you know, like mm-hmm. she pushed me closer to God, you know, like being around people that made me doubt myself didn't bring me any closer to God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Valerie. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Brenna. Were you going to say something else?
Go right ahead.
I was just thinking about the healing you talked about, you know, the whole Therese thing and, you know, why aren't you healing me? You know, I don't know if you watched The Chosen, but there's, you know, little James, this great episode about him asking Jesus, like, you can heal all these people. Why aren't you healing me? And basically this story, this testament of, you know, I'm not healing you, but you still love me and follow me because and that's part of the reason is like to be a witness. And anyway, what I was thinking is, you know, if God had healed you really early on, you may never have made it to where you are, which is a place of deeper healing. And also maybe not more importantly, but maybe as important healing others, right? So you're now in this beautiful role where you're able to help other people on their journey. So I guess I was just wondering if you were able to see, like, have you seen that as the fruit of this process? You know, were you able to see, okay, maybe there's a reason, a deeper reason why the Lord had me go on this journey the way he did?
Hmm. Yes. On very bad days, I sometimes think that I would have been a better mom to my older kids if I had stopped at two, which is a very, like, I don't like thinking like that because I love my daughter so much. Yeah. She's so wonderful and the world is so much better for her having been there. But like she, I feel like was the catalyst because I didn't know I had OCD until after she was born. So I probably would have lived my life wondering what was wrong with me. So like when I'm in a really bad place, like sometimes I think like that. Yeah. Like, why did I have to go through all of this? But those really dark places, like I discovered like an amazing, like new treatment modality that I love using as a therapist and I love using as a client.
Yeah.
You know, I I don't know that I ever fully embraced my faith because I always thought I was doing it wrong.
Sure.
So like, I'm not saying I'm doing it right, but like, I mean, like I feel like it's like, no, like there isn't like a superior form of liturgy. Like, you know, I think it's all preference. This is what I prefer. I prefer like,
right.
Hymns like Be Not Afraid, you know, like, right. Like ones that other people might scoff at, you know, like I feel like, yeah, like I feel like I'm at a more authentic whole place. So like, I mean, like I actually, I talked to Bernadette before we got on here and I was saying like, what an awful day I had with my kids. And I felt like I really screwed up today. So, I mean, like, that's still a thing.
Yeah.
Like I'm always,
still human.
Yes. And I'm always going to have OCD.
I'm having that too.
Yeah. I'm always going to be mentally ill. I'm always going to have OCD. It's going to wax and wane. There might be times where I don't meet like criteria for it, but it's never going away.
Yeah.
Fully, you know, unless like God wanted it to, but I feel like it makes me a more effective clinician.
Wow.
Like my beautiful. Clients tell me, because I'm open with my clients about the fact that I have OCD. And we like will joke about how like I was like, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm extremely suggestible. Like I can't watch QVC, you know, like if I didn't have my husband, I'd probably like 100% join a cult, you know, because like I'm just very easily like sucked into things. And I think that's part of it. So I think like, and I think clients have like disclosed like intrusive thoughts, like the one that I told my therapist, you know, like you have to like trust that your therapist isn't going to judge you. And like, I have shared some of my sillier compulsions with them. And I feel like that builds rapport so that they feel they can share things with me. So, yeah. So like, sometimes I'm mad that I have to have this. And I wish I didn't, but at the same time, like, I feel like all of the things have like come together, like so beautifully, like to create this really wonderful, like tapestry that is my life, you know? And yeah. So
could you, I don't know if everybody knows, define what an intrusive thought is or what is an example of one for, like, there might be people who have them and don't even know.
Okay. So, intrusive thoughts are unwanted, involuntary thoughts or images that can be unpleasant, disturbing, or upsetting. So I'm just going to leave you all in suspense about the intrusive thought that got me diagnosed with OCD. But it's basically trigger warning. So my one son, he sleeps on his back with his hands clasped across his chest. And I mentioned before that, like, when I'm not in a good place, I have like a 4-step process to make sure he's still alive. Cause I'll be like, oh, my eyes are playing tricks on me. Like I see his chest rising and falling, but do I really? So, an intrusive thought that I frequently have, is like my brain will kind of just like, I don't know if superimpose is the right word, but we'll just kind of like,
sure.
Like imagine him in a casket. And then I'm thinking about how awful that would be, or in or a hospital bed. Or like I might be driving and I'll think that like someone like fell into the street or like, you know, like I feel like, like Final Destination movies probably didn't do anyone any favors, you know, like the truck with all the logs on the back, you know, like,
no.
So, So, intrusive thoughts are like unwanted thoughts or images, or it could be like one time, I was mad at one of my kids and I was like, oh no, what if I don't love him anymore or something like that? Like obsessional, that is maybe more an obsessional doubt, but like, yeah. So things like that. When I was little, I kept hearing a voice saying like, F you God in my head. And I was like, and that's scrupulosity. Like I definitely struggle with scrupulosity. I couldn't get it out. And with an intrusive thought, if you try to push it out, it'll come back stronger. So it's kind of like, you know how, like, if there is a bee near you, you don't want to wave your arms because it'll sting you, but you don't want to catch it. So So like, you don't want to like push it out, like kind of like clouds in the sky, leaves on a stream. Like, you know, like if you just let it run its course. So right. like, I will see my son and I will think those things and I'll just be like, oh, that was messed up. And then like, I'll just try to go about with whatever I was doing.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And informative.
Yeah. I think it's all really important for people to hear because mental illness is just, it's as common as every other sickness that we're dealing with. And it is really, you know, we hear lots of miracle stories on this podcast. And I would say most of them, we have had some that are like just these immediate healing experiences that happen. But a lot of them are stories that it's like, okay, you can see this is actually the journey of this person's life and a story of healing over time. And you can see the before and after. It's not like, oh, there's this certain point and now everything's perfect. It's all a part of the journey of healing and God leading us toward him. It's not, the point isn't like, oh, everything's perfect now. So I think it's also just really beautiful you sharing with your clients and working with them in that way. And it's so true what Margaret said. God can use anything for the good, even if it's not something that we would voluntarily go through again or wish upon ourselves or anyone else. But it is really important to just ponder that fact of like, okay, there are certain things that really, really suck in this life. And you can also look at them and see like a really beautiful side of the way that this suffering and pain and this ugly thing can also like really create goodness in the world. So thanks for using your gifts in that way, Valerie, and for sharing this story for anyone who might be listening. And you don't have to, but I was just remembering the whole like year of the father thing that came up with Well-Read Mom. And if you want to share anything about that too, because I just thought that was also like a really cool moment that you shared with all of us in our group.
Yeah. So the theme of Well-Read Mom last year was Year of the Seeker. And I feel like that was pretty on the nose for me. And we talked about reconciliation in one of our groups. And I said that I wanted reconciliation with one of the priests, like the pastor of the church where I got yelled at, because I had a really good relationship with him. And I wanted reconciliation with my own father. And Bernadette suggested praying a novena. And so then we found out that the theme for the next year was Year of the Father. And I thought it was so interesting that it was Year of the Seeker and then like Year of the Father after I had reconciled with the pastor of the church and I had some good conversations with my dad. So like, I upgraded my membership of Wealth and Mom.
She sent us all the funniest texts because she was like, I cannot believe this. Because the whole, like, we had prayed this novena St. Joseph and like these prayers around Father. And yeah, and like, it was really cool because the Year of the Seeker theme had fit so well for so many of us, you know, when you're like, is this a coincidence or not? It's just, it's really cool that it worked out this way. And then Valerie sends a text. She's like, you guys will not believe this. They just released the theme. It's Year of the Father. And it's like right after we finished this novena about fatherhood. Anyway, so that was just another cool moment where I was like, that felt to me like a mini miracle. I would share That's that awesome. As a mini miracle on this yeah. podcast.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, maybe we can just move into mini miracles now. So the mini miracle part of our podcast is a chance for all of us just to share a way that God has been working in our lives, something that happened or just something that's brought us joy or just been a highlight moment within the past week or the past month. So I will start out with sharing my mini miracle for this episode. It's actually a story related to this podcast. Way back in season one, I shared the story of how I met my husband very soon after breaking off an engagement that was not to the right person. And I've had a lot of people reach out to me over the past year about how that story impacted their lives. And so there have been many times that I'm just grateful, kind of in the same way that you, Valerie, you're like, okay, I can see the way that my my pain and suffering in some ways can actually help other people. It's just been a really beautiful experience for me to know that sometimes my story is helping someone get through a tough period relationship wise. But anyway, there was a friend of a friend who had heard about our podcast, and she ended up listening to my episode after breaking off an engagement, and she reached out to my friend who knows me and was like, "This is amazing. This story is like exactly what I needed to hear." And she asked if she'd be willing to connect us. So long story short, we met over text. And over the past year, I've been texting back and forth with this girl and just kind of journeying with her, like a very small part. I'm not saying I had a huge effect on her or anything, but it was just, I felt like I was able to encourage her when she was like really alone and discouraged. And I was just trying to give her insight and just walk with her. And anyway, it was just fun, like getting to know her and developing a relationship through this story that she heard of mine. And anyway, a couple weeks ago, she sent me a text that she's engaged to a wonderful Catholic man, and she's so happy. And she sent me a picture of him proposing to her at the front, in the front of a church, like right in front of the altar. And she just sounds so happy. So anyway, it was just like really fun to be part of that little story and to see again how God can use an experience like that to affect somebody else's life, even in a small way. So that's my mini miracle. What about you, Margaret?
Full disclosure, I've been having a hard time coming up with one. I don't know. It's just been a really dry couple months for me, but I thought of something. I think during periods of spiritual dryness and struggling, like, yeah, it can be hard to see the miracles. My life is okay, but I don't know. It's just been a struggle. But a couple times over the past few weeks, it's been little nuggets from the Lord of opening something, a daily reflection, or like today I opened a book I haven't opened in a really long time just to read a morning, like brief little devotion. And then another time this happened a few weeks ago where I was like just feeling a certain way and exactly what I needed to hear the Lord just put in front of me. And so just thankful for God's little, I always think of those moments as I see you moments, you know, when you're like, okay, God, are you even there? And then it's exactly what you need to hear. So just thankful for those little nuggets in the midst of the dry spell. So Paige.
Thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Also, just side note, I think it's really important to be able to say those times where it's like, you know what? Sometimes in life, it's just hard to think of anything to really like celebrate or see as a positive moment. So
yeah,
pertinent to this episode. Thanks, Margaret.
True that.
All right, Paige.
My mini miracle is that today I taught my four-year-old son how to ride a pedal bike with no training wheels.
Oh, wow.
That's exciting. Go Santi.
We actually didn't even put the training wheels on at all. He's just like completely mastered the balance bike. And someone gave us a free pedal bike. And I was like, you know what? We're just going to go for it. And so I like taught him a little bit, and he definitely had a lot of like, you know, like frustration moments. But I told him, I was like, we're going to breathe through our frustration, and we're going to get back up when we fall, and we're going to keep doing it. And I think it was like within 20 minutes, he was riding the bike all by himself, like down the hill. And I told him, you just need to keep like, we're going to master this one thing. And all of a sudden he's like riding down the hill, standing straight up. Like trying to do tricks on this thing already.
Oh, geez.
So
pop a wheelie.
Yeah. So it was just really cool to see the progression of it. And I don't know, that's just something that you like hear about. It's like a huge milestone, you know, like teaching your kid how to ride a bike. And I was like, whoa, I did that today. I taught my kid how to ride a bike. So
cool.
Yeah. That was awesome. The miracle.
We'll be expecting a video after this is over.
Oh, yes, of course. You know I have tons.
All right, Valerie.
I feel like the new school year has been like a miracle. My kids are so happy and they're thriving, and the school is so supportive. Like, but also I have been cooking, which I do not do very often. And, my one son, who's extremely picky eater, I made pork chops and he ate 4.5 for dinner.
Whoa.
Pork lover.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It always feels like a miracle when a kid who won't eat just eats. So he must be a really good cook.
I do one dish really well.
That's awesome. Well, that's awesome. Also, Valerie, before we close out with prayer, I just thought of when we were first chatting about miracles and stuff, you told me the story of Margot being a boy. Can you just quick tell that story?
So before we even decided that we were going to try for a third kid, my eldest Vincent started demanding a little sister named Margot. We are named Margaret. We are big Daniel Tiger fans in this house. And Daniel Tiger has a little sister named Baby Margaret. So when we got pregnant, he just started talking about his sister Margaret. And I was like, just so you know, like, there's a chance that this baby could be a boy. And he was like, no, a girl, Margaret. And so we did the sneak peek gender test. This episode is not sponsored by sneak peek, after what I say.
Paige and I have also used them, by the way. They're awesome.
And we got the results back and it said I was having a third boy. And I will admit that, like, for my son, I was pretty disappointed. For myself, I was a little disappointed too, because I knew we wouldn't be having any more babies. And then, so this was around like 10 weeks. So we have the anatomy ultrasound, and the technician said, do you know what this baby is? And you're like, yeah, we got a blood test, but we want to confirm it. And like everyone on Facebook was like, I was like, thoughts and prayers, Vincent's hopes of getting a sister are going to be forever dashed. And a lot of people are like, I don't know, man. I think Vincent's right. And so, like, in the most amazing plot twist, the technician was like, don't tell me. So she's checking the baby out and everything. And she's like, you're having a girl, right? And I was like, no. And it was just, I laughed through the rest of the ultrasound. It was the best surprise, especially, like, I was having such a hard time. Like, I feel like God really, really came through there. Like, I think if I hadn't known all along, it wouldn't have been as exciting. So that's one of totally. my friend calls it, she says it's her favorite origin story. So obviously we named her Margaret. Yeah. And she goes by Margot. But my Vincent calls her Margaret.
That's so
I awesome. Just thought that was the sweetest story, and just and just so crazy, because once you take the blood test, you're just like, oh, that's the fact. It's like 99.99% accurate or whatever. So thanks for sharing
I lived in a house with a bunch of boys, so obviously, like, the sample is contaminated in some way.
Yeah.
So,
but
yeah,
that's just such a cool little story. So
awesome.
Anyway, thank you again so much, Valerie, for sharing with us and for still being willing after a long day and a hard day to get on and share this story and talk about it. Yeah. And we just really appreciate you being here and taking the time.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
And with that, alrighty. I will close us in prayer. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Lord God, we thank you for Valerie being with us today. We thank you for just bringing her out of that darkness and taking that cloud and that fog away from her to let her see more clearly and love more clearly. Lord, we pray for anyone who might be in the same situation as Valerie, that they feel confident enough to reach out for help, especially after hearing this message of hope that Valerie shares with us today. We pray that you are able to heal all of those with physical illnesses and mental illnesses, and that no matter what happens, they know that you are still God and that you are still good. We ask this all through your name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Venerable Fulton Amen. Sheen.
Pray for us.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Valerie. And thank you guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Moving Mountains podcast. If you have a miracle story to tell, please call our hotline at 412-449-9609. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at Moving Mountains Podcast AK. We encourage you to subscribe, leave us a rating and review, and share our podcast with others. We'll see you next time.